Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. What's on your mind today? Is there something you'd like to talk about, a question you'd like to pose? Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. October 10th has been named as World Mental Health Day by the World Health Organization.
And, did we get any is what I want to know.
Well, when you look out there in the world, there's a lot of mental health issues.
Yeah, for sure.
Right here in America, I did a little video on anxiety a couple of years ago, and some of the statistics that I looked at that particular time were alarming. 40 million Americans suffer from some sort of anxiety disorder. Mm. And then I've looked up some statistics of late about depression, and 19 million Americans suffer from depression. It's really, you know, epidemic as far as the numbers are concerned. And it's something that the church has ignored for the most part. I know there are some pockets of people here and there that are paying attention to mental health issues. But I think as believers in Christ, we should never underestimate the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the matters of the soul, and certainly yes. depression and anxiety are going to be matters of the soul. Now, these things are going to affect us bodily as well. We're going to have all kinds of physical symptoms to these mental issues. So we don't want to ignore those as well. And then we need to realize that this particular issue and the people that are suffering from mental health issues need our listening ears. They need our caring hearts. And they need our generous love. We have something that we can share. We have a person that we can offer up to people who can give their hearts and minds some peace and comfort in the midst of what they're going through. Yeah. And we see a lot of this in the Word of God. One of our favorite passages here at Basic Gospel is this. It's Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and it reads this way. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, oftentimes we read these passages and we say, well, that's nice for, you know, some very simple issues that we may be facing. And even some of our other Bible translations, when you read them, you get that sense. For example, the New Living Translation puts it this way. Don't worry about anything. You know, I'm worried about, traffic this morning, and am I going to make it to work or not? And so we think of it in terms of those sort of issues.
Yeah.
But this word anxiety, biblically, it is a very disturbing word.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it's a disturbance of the soul. It's something that shakes us at our very foundations of who we are and what life is supposed to be for us. It just really shakes those foundations, and it leaves us in a state of chaos and confusion in our minds, or restlessness in our hearts, and just a total loss of control. So this is a big word. This isn't just a surface word. This isn't just a surface issue. This is something that really gets down into the very depths of our human souls. And so we need, as believers, to pay attention to that. And we need to recognize that, you know, whether you're a believer or not, you're not going to be immune to things that are going to come your way that can disturb you mentally, that can disturb your feelings. So this is what this anxiety is all about. And what's the cure for it as far as this particular passage is concerned? Well, it's genuine, heartfelt trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to experience peace in the midst of these troubling circumstances. So there's ways that we deal with these troubles that come into our lives. One of the ways is through human effort. I've got the resources within me to handle it, and I'm going to handle it. And when you try to handle it, the cave, the tunnel, just gets longer and darker.
Wow, yeah.
And you think, hey, there's no way out of this. And eventually you come to a place and you say, help. There's also this other way, and that's learning to put that particular situation into the hands of the one who loves us and gave himself for us. That's Jesus Christ himself. It becomes a matter of faith. Now, we must not and dare not look at faith as simply a surface thing as well, something that only affects us as far as the fact that we go to church on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
But faith is something that emanates from deep within because the grace of God has worked in us deep within our souls. It's not a surface thing either. So we have to realize that faith is monumental. I mean, it is everything as far as our life in Jesus Christ is concerned. So are there mental issues out there? Yes. Does the gospel speak to them?
Yes.
With power, with compassion, with love. That's how the gospel speaks to this particular issue. We, as children of God, like I said, we need to lend our listening ears. Oftentimes, you know, mental illnesses go undetected by, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
So there
right.
might be somebody in your neighborhood suffering from a mental illness. Well, they may put up a front, and you would never know unless you had a listening ear, unless you sat down with them and kind of talked, and then you realized, hey, there's something going on here. And then you talk more, you ask some more questions, and then you lend your caring heart and your generous love, and you can be a part of the solution of a very, very troubling problem.
Yes.
And for so many people in this world. So let's never forget the power of the gospel. Let's lend our listening ears, our caring hearts, and our generous love.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. And if it is the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, we'd love to hear from you. You can call and speak with us live right now at 844-322-2742. Otherwise, call that number overnight, 844-322-2742. Have you ever wondered, friends, how can I know that my sins are forgiven? Well, at Basic Gospel, we hear that a lot. It's the reason we are offering a free copy of this excellent booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. Only when you rest in the finished work of Christ can you experience the abundance that He has for you in His life. To help our listeners understand this vital truth, Basic Gospel is offering this excellent little booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, absolutely free. For your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find the link right there, facing you right in your face as you go to basicgospel.net. We just click that link, and we'll be glad to get a copy absolutely free on the way to you. Well, once again, I want to give the number, 844-322-2742. And we had this call that came in overnight.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have been plagued by this question for many years. It's for people who die who do not know the Lord. I was wondering if when they have to pay the consequences for their sins and they go to hell, once their sins are paid for, are their bodies annihilated? Do they die? Because I know Scripture talks a lot about death and that they just won't live forever and ever and ever and ever. It just doesn't seem comprehensible. It doesn't even seem like God's character to make people suffer like that. Thank you so much. I enjoy listening to your programming. Bye-bye.
That's a deep one.
That is a deep question indeed. And, you know, there's lots of debate on what happens to the lost upon death. And that final judgment, what is going to happen? There are many theologians that would argue annihilation, that they're just poofed out of existence. They're no longer there you know, just totally gone. Their soul, everything just totally gone. You know, there's others that would say, no, they are going to suffer eternal torment, that they are going to experience death eternally. And that really is the punishment. It is eternal death. So what does that mean? Life is in Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So their eternal existence would be separated from the life of God. Now, how that's all going to work, I don't know. But here's what Scripture has to say. This is 2 Thessalonians, and this is the first chapter, starting in verse 5. This is the evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Now, we have to realize that any judgment that God gives is a righteous judgment.
Right.
It is a just judgment. There is no unjustness with God. Everything that he do is going to be the right judgment, a righteous judgment, so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So when Jesus returns, that's going to be the time of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when affliction is going to be administered from the righteous one. Now, here's what this is going to look like. It's going to look like in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the fire stick, so to speak, the lightning rod, is Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
He came into this world, light entered into darkness. You either come to the light and receive eternal life, or you go away from the light and remain in your darkness, in your state of darkness. So he is the one. You either receive him or you reject him. And it says, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ are the ones who are going to be receiving this affliction, this vengeance from God. And here's what it says. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glory in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed because of our testimony to you was believed. So this gospel message is going out there into the world. This gospel message is the story of Jesus. That is, quote, in modern terms, the meta-narrative, the big story.
Yeah.
And that's the big story our modern times are rejecting, are saying no to. But the big story is the story about Jesus. And here it is in very simple, plain terms. He has come that you might have life. If you receive the Son, you receive eternal life. And so when you die, when you breathe your last, the judgment for you is life everlasting. For those who reject the Son, who say, no, I don't want you, Jesus. I want to do things my way. On that day of judgment, when Jesus returns, their judgment is going to be eternal death. And they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. What is that going to look like? We don't know.
I don't know.
That's what it is. That's what it says. That's what the Word of God has to say. So we have to realize that there's a lot of people who are already dead spiritually, and all of us came into this world in that spiritual condition.
Yeah.
We were condemned already. The wrath of God was on us. Why? Because we were dead spiritually. Now, we were rescued. We were delivered from that state. We were saved by grace through faith in Jesus. What happened when we were saved by grace through faith in Jesus? We were made alive together with Christ, just as he was raised from the dead physically. We were raised from the dead spiritually to walk in the newness of life. So when we stand before him, we're just going to hear the judgment. You belong to me. You are saved forever. Just the very thing we've already heard in the gospel message.
Yeah.
Those who reject him, they're going to suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of God. That's eternal spiritual death.
You notice that what you've just described has nothing to do with the first part of her call. I know that, you know, if you're lost, you go to hell, and you'll suffer until you've paid for your sins.
Mm.
There's no paying for sins.
No, no way.
Jesus paid for sins. And so everything depends on whether we've accepted him or rejected him. And when we get away from that behavioral definition of hell or heaven, then things begin to fall in place a little bit better. We must see this solely in terms of Jesus Christ and nothing else.
Right. Absolutely. It truly is. The salvation is a death or life, life or death matter.
Yeah. Yes.
And let's not forget that.
Right.
So thank you so much for that question. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. So many of you, our listener friends, support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. And you do that because you see people that God loves being beaten down and trodden down in this terribly broken world. You know, it's truly a work of the heart and the spirit that you do when you give to support Basic Gospel. And to show our appreciation for your love and your partnership, when you make your October gift, we have an excellent resource for you. It's called The Power of Eight. Now, through this series, you're going to come to see that in a culture littered with empty promises and bankrupt ideas, the message of God's love and grace in Christ Jesus shines a light, guiding to true rest and an eternal purpose. Request your copy when you make your October gift to Basic Gospel. You'll find several ways to do that when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Truly, it is a work of love and grace that you do in the hearts of people as you make your gift through Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have an interesting question that came to us on our YouTube live stream. So we have a number of people watching us right now on our YouTube channel, as well as some on our Facebook page. But Diogenes wants to know, how do you focus on Christ? And this was in light of our conversation about not being anxious about anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication, making our requests known to God, and then the peace of God that passes understanding, guarding our hearts and mind. So how do we stay focused on Christ Jesus, especially in this crazy world in which we live? I mean, we don't see a lot of signs of Christ out there in the world. We see an anti-Christ story, an anti-Christ message coming at us, and coming at us oftentimes at the speed of light. Mm-hmm. So how do we keep our focus on Jesus Christ? How do we live with our eyes on him and able to run this race that he has set out before us?
That was the thing that I used to wrestle with all the time, and it finally began to dawn on me that Jesus lives inside of me. That truly, mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit, Jesus right. lives inside of me. So when the Holy Spirit is leading me into the Word of God and teaching me the things that Jesus has accomplished and Jesus has promised and Jesus has spoken over me, when I think about those things, then I'm focusing on Jesus. If I let those things inform the various things I do during the day, then I am focused on Jesus. It doesn't do any good, because we've tried this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, people can't see Jesus, so they need a picture of him or an idol of him or something of him. That's not what we're talking about. This is a spiritual reality making itself known through our souls, our minds, emotions, and wills, that impacts how we live our lives physically. And if we don't let it happen from the inside out, based on the Word of God, then there's nothing to look at.
Yeah.
Right.
But when we have the Word of God and we are saved, born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then we can learn how to do this by listening to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And every day, a little bit more trust, a little bit more focus, a little bit more faith, because the grace is always there. Yeah.
And one of the things that we find out, circumstances become a way that we make judgments mm-hmm. about things. So if we have a negative circumstance, we allow that circumstance to bring about a judgment toward God. So we think God must not love us.
No.
God must be angry with us. God must hate us. And certainly that is the thinking behind all of the mythological gods, the Greek gods, the Roman gods, and they were always trying to do things to appease the gods. You know, if the crops didn't grow like they did the year before, they're thinking we did something to make them mad.
Yeah, somebody's got to die.
Yeah, so what do we do now? Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, human nature, we're constantly judging God through our circumstances. And we have to shift and say, no, let's judge God through the cross of Jesus Christ. Because when we do that, we realize that he demonstrated his love for us right there by Christ dying in our place. And that lifts us above the circumstances. So our eyes aren't focused on the circumstances. We're focused on the one that can help drive us through those circumstances.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Diogenes, great to hear from you, and thanks for that question. We had this heart-wrenching question come in from Peggy. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Lee. I've been raising my granddaughter now for almost 7 years. I have complete custody of her. And the mother now, after 7 years, is kind of wanting to come back in the picture. We ain't heard from her in 2 years, and times before that, both the parents have been in out of jail and on off drugs. And I don't know what to do. You know, am I supposed to love and forgive? The little girl doesn't even know her mom and dad whatsoever. What do you do? I mean, do you bring somebody back into the picture where a little girl is, you know, her mind might be messed up through it all, or what? Please tell me what to do. Thank you.
Well, Peggy, we certainly feel your confusion and, and trying to figure out what exactly to do in this situation. You have custody, and certainly the courts have granted you that custody for good reason. The daughter, the mom, has not been involved in the granddaughter's life. So I think I would proceed with great caution in this. And I certainly wouldn't welcome the daughter back in with open arms and just act as if nothing happened. I would proceed with caution, with an eye on that granddaughter, a protective eye on that granddaughter. And what I would suggest that you do is to sit down and have a conversation with your daughter. And to say, hey, you know, I don't want to just open the doors. I don't want to cause confusion. I don't think you want to bring more harm into your daughter's life than what has already occurred.
Yeah.
So let's take this one step at a time. And maybe you just let her see her one time in a month or something. And then you just, you know, go with that. Allow the Holy Spirit to inform and shape how to proceed from there.
Yeah, but loving and forgiving doesn't mean handing the child over.
Right.
Right.
Does not.
Yeah. Well, friends, thanks for being with us today. And Peggy, hope that's a help to you. Please remember, friends, that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and we need your ongoing help to keep the good news coming, both on the air and online. Please visit BasicGospel.net to see all the ways you can make your gift. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of this excellent series, The Power of Eight. Again, that's BasicGospel.net. In Canada, BasicGospel.net/Canada. By the way, if you have a Bible question or if there's some troublesome life issue you're experiencing, give us a call overnight at 844-322-2742. Record your question. We'll address it on a coming edition of Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.